Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower, overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue on a beautiful Saturday evening. We are here until midnight. Lots of great stuff coming up. We are going to talk about vodka with the resident barman mixologist Daryl Freeman from Carnival Restaurant. They got an event Wednesday night where they're going to do tastings and pairings with different kinds of vodka, and we're going to talk about that. It's called Vodka 101, and you can check that out. If you're a nerd and you want a date, check out Nerds at Heart. We're going to have the founder of Nerds at Heart on with us. Bathsheba Berman is going to join us. We'll check out what's in the new Chicago Magazine after 10 o'clock with Jeff Ruby, which is all about the 10 best new restaurants in Chicago, so we'll talk about that as well. And acclaimed director William Friedkin, director of The Exorcist and The French Connection and so many more movies, is going to join us after 11 to talk about his new book, The Friedkin Connection, which you can get signed tomorrow at the Movieco Theater in Rosemont when he appears at the Chicago Critics Film Festival. He's going to be there live signing books, and they're going to screen his classic movie from 1977, Sorcerer. So we'll talk all about that as well. And you can get information at the ChicagoCriticsFilmFestival.com. Full schedule and your tickets there, ChicagoCriticsFilmFestival.com. So lots of great stuff coming up. The phone number is 312-981-7200. You can send your text to 24720, or you can check us out at Facebook.com/NickDShow. If you are a regular listener to this show, then you know how much we love to talk about food, how much we love to eat, and particularly how much we love bacon. And I think it's gotten to the point now where everybody is finally admitting that they love bacon. It was kind of taboo for a little while because, you know, bacon was not supposed to be very good for you, and you secretly loved it. But now everybody openly just adores bacon. So much so that there is next Saturday, a week from today, the 5th annual Bacon Fest Chicago is happening right here in Chicago. And it gets more and more popular every year because everybody loves bacon. And so we're bringing in here one of the founders of Bacon Fest, Seth Zurer. Seth, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
Absolutely. I love your jacket. You have a little Bacon Fest jacket on.
Thank you very much. We got our Bacon Fest flag, which is a Chicago flag, but with bacon instead of stripes.
I'm loving the logo. It's a fantastic logo, fantastic logo. Talk to me about how Bacon Fest started.
Bacon Fest was my partners thought it up after they went to see a rock and roll puppet musical called Beer at the Neo-Futurist Theater up in Andersonville.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I work with those guys, the drinking and writing guys.
Absolutely.
I'm really good friends with Steve and Sean.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, so they went to see this show, which was all about craft beer. And it was an inspiration to them. They went home and they drank a few beers, and they said to themselves, well, those guys feel so passionately about beer that they wrote a whole rock and roll puppet musical about it. What do we feel that passionately about? And the obvious answer was bacon.
Yeah.
And they said, forget the musical. Let's just throw a big party and have lots of bacon everywhere.
Some of the best ideas in the world happen when you're drinking. That's just what happened, man. I mean, I hang out with Steve and Sean a lot at Drinking and Writing, and I saw that show that you're talking about. It's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're now located at the Haymarket Pub and Brewery, which is fantastic, awesome place. And over on Randolph, by the way, and Halstead. And those guys came up with the whole idea for Drinking and Writing after they'd had a few cocktails. And a lot of the shows that they come up with have been, you know, thought of while having a few. So Bacon Fest was thought of after a few beers.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. And so it's the next week we set up our Facebook page. We set up our Twitter feed. We wrote a little Bacon Manifesto. And we had our first event that October, mm-hmm. which had 75 guests in 10 restaurants. And since then, it's just sort of exploded. Every event we've ever thrown has sold out, including this year's.
It started out with 75
guests and 10 chefs. And the next year, in April, we had 600 guests and 24 chefs.
And tell everybody how many this year.
This year, we'll have 130 chefs over a lunch and dinner shift, mm-hmm. about 3,000 ticket holders. We have a dozen liquor sponsors. We're going to have 5,700 pounds of Newski's bacon.
Man, oh man.
Built into the most amazing, innovative, creative bacon dishes you can imagine.
That's unbelievable. So it just started out as this thing. Now, when you guys first, you started your Twitter feed, you started your Facebook. Where did the first event take place?
It was actually at the Publican restaurant.
Oh, sure.
Paul Kahn's restaurant.
That makes sense. Do a bacon-themed thing at the Publican? That totally makes sense.
That's what we thought, too. Yeah. He agreed, so that was fun. We hosted it there. We had 10 chefs. Five of those chefs are actually still with us at Bacon Fest this year.
Yeah.
Folks like Pat Sheeran from Trencherman. Mm-hmm. So that was, it was an amazing event at Publican, and then we moved to a different venue the following year, and then we're down on the UIC campus.
So after the first event, you guys were in the UIC campus at the Forum, mm-hmm. for this one. over 3,000 people over two courses of the dinner and the lunch service. After the first event, when the 75 people showed up and you got the 10 chefs, were you guys just beside yourself? Did you think, oh, this is awesome?
Oh, yeah. We were. I mean, it was the kind of thing we had no concept about what would happen. It was like, oh, hey, so we didn't lose a ton of money. We had a good time. Yeah. We ate delicious bacon. And then every year it's like, wow, more people want to come. More chefs want to come. More people do incredible creative things. And, yeah, it's been – for us, it was – none of us came from event management background. We're all kind of theater guys. We all had day jobs. And then sort of little by little, Bacon Fest has grown and grown and grown.
I've only been to Bacon Fest once. It was 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
2 years ago with some buddies. And we were – it was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. We think it's a fun time.
Everybody... No, it's a blast. It really is a blast. So you said you guys are – is everybody working from the same kind of bacon?
Not everybody.
No.
There is a lot of Newski's bacon. Newski's is our bacon sponsor. They're
sure.
A Wisconsin bacon brand. But there are some folks that make their own bacon, like Paul Fairbach from Big Jones, who always brings his own bacon. We have some folks coming up from downstate, a guy from a restaurant called Baccaro. He makes his own bacon. But so there's plenty of variety. But what's really amazing is that even if you did start from the same bacon, the range of food that these chefs can come up with.
Of course.
They go sweet, they go savory, they go salty. There's stuff that's like heavy meat. There's a sandwich. There's stuff that's like a salad with a little bacon accent. They're really just – every year there's something new that just blows me away and expands my understanding of what's possible with bacon.
Now, you are aware that there is a TV show called The United States of Bacon.
Bacon is, it's popular.
Have you noticed since you started this 5 years ago that the acknowledgement in public of how much people love bacon has grown exponentially? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I used to get a question a lot. I was like, oh, well, why bacon? I mean, people stopped asking me that question. Like, nobody says why bacon anymore. Everyone just sort of knows, bacon is delicious.
Yeah.
Bacon gives you that transgressive thrill of fattiness and saltiness.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, just the smell alone of bacon. Like, if you walk in someplace and there's bacon cooking on a flat top or in a pan or something, it's like, oh, man, you have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I love the fact that, like, now, I mean, because I've just noticed that there are now more, and I'm sure you've noticed this, too, since you were one of the founders of Bacon Fest, that there are now more bacon products, too. Like, there's all kinds of crazy, crazy bacon products. Have you noticed that?
I have noticed that. I mean, it started out with, like, bacon salt, and then little by little, they've sort of expanded into different things. Bacon toothpicks.
Bacon lip balm.
Bacon lip balm.
I've seen bacon chewing gum.
Bacon-flavored envelopes, so you never have to lick an envelope that doesn't taste like bacon.
I haven't seen those.
Yeah.
Oh, I might have to get some of those.
We have some of those kind of bacon products and some really awesome bacon products at Bacon Fest Chicago as well. We invite bacon entrepreneurs, folks like there's a guy in Lincoln Square who makes his own bacon sausage.
Yeah.
And there's a couple that has a company called Salted Caramel that makes bacon bourbon caramel corn. So there's all sorts of interesting bacon products that have popped up. And some of them are truly amazing. We have the amazing ones at Bacon Fest.
Zeth Zur is with me, and it is the Bacon Fest time. Bacon Fest Chicago is happening a week from today at UIC Forum. And tell me a little bit about this manifesto, Seth. What? How did you sit down? How did you guys come up with the manifesto?
That was another late night.
I bet it was, man.
Fueled by beer,
we
got to get some content up on the website. But it turned out to be something that chefs connected with, that folks who read it connected with. I don't have a copy of it with me. It was like a lot of great. I think it sounded a little bit like a political speech or like a manifesto. It was great. It was a lot of fun.
I believe I have it in front of me.
Oh, you do? How convenient.
I think I have it in front of me. Let me just make sure. We resist flash judgments. We treasure the new and revere the old. We favor the underdog but celebrate greatness at any size. And we believe bacon opens new doors. And there are there are paragraphs to describe those. But that's basically what it is. We resist flash judgments. We treasure the new and revere the old. We favor the underdog but celebrate the greatness at any size. We believe bacon opens new doors. Here's what it says. We are part of the human fraternity. Every shared experience brings us closer to our fellow man. We believe that eating together is the ultimate equalizer. When we break bread, we create bonds. When we break bacon, we make community. Therefore, we are committed to creating shared bacon experiences to strengthen the bonds of the human community across religion, across race, across gender, across class. That is the promise of bacon. That is the aim of Bacon Fest. Wow.
Mission accomplished, man. I mean, We
need some very dramatic music played in the background while you read that. You know what I mean?
Well, what's amazing is that there really is this bacon community, that the folks who show up in the room at Bacon Fest, the ticket holders, the chefs, the cocktail makers, the sponsors, they're all passionate about bacon, and they're all so excited and happy to be in the room with one another, connecting with one another. You know, when I wrote that, I thought, oh, maybe we'll have bacon community. But now I think we actually do have this amazing bacon community.
And it's not just a bacon community. These people are hardcore, man.
Sure.
I mean, you know, I've met a few. I know a few. I've had a few on the air. And, yeah, man, I mean, the people who are full-on hardcore bacon are full-on hardcore bacon. And there's just no question about it.
That's right.
And they're all coming out next Saturday to Bacon Fest 2013. All right, Seth, hang on a second, okay?
Sure.
Seth Zurer is with me, and it is Bacon Fest Chicago 2013. We're going to talk about what's on the menu and what other dishes are available and all that cool stuff. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. Ways to get a hold of us, send your text to 24720. Check us out on Twitter. Follow us at facebook.com/NickDShow. That, by the way, is the best way to stay connected. We're getting close to 8,500 fans on our Facebook page. That would be awesome if you went in there and you liked us. Maybe we can hit the plateau of 8,500 fans, which is really amazing. So 8,500 fans on Facebook. Let's make that happen. So go there right now, Nick D Show. It's facebook.com/NickDShow. Hit that like button and like us. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. I am joined by Seth Zurer, who is one of the founders of Bacon Fest. Bacon Fest Chicago takes place a week from today at the UIC in the Forum. And we've got there's a ton of people who are involved in it. Let's talk a little bit about some of the food, past and present, and some of the other things that are going to be happening this year, food wise, and what kind of stuff can people eat from where?
So, in terms of what people can eat, you can eat amazing bacon dishes from all over Chicago. So I brought a couple of examples.
Yeah,
I mean, like Benny's Chop House is making something called a strawberry rhubarb pie. But then it's got applewood smoked bacon strudel on top. And Edzo's Burger Shop from Evanston, they just opened a second location. He's coming with a bacon milkshake. It's applewood smoked bacon and maple milkshake.
Bacon and maple milkshake.
That's right.
Okay.
And another bacon dessert, David Burke's Prime House, is bringing a cherry cured bacon chocolate tart with dark chocolate ganache and sour cherry jam.
It's kind of amazing how... You know, I mean, obviously, we've mentioned this a lot, that bacon goes with everything, which is true, which we agree with. But it is kind of amazing how these great chefs have made really great desserts using bacon. And how that sweet and savory thing has really, that's another thing that's really taken off, is sweet and savory. Or there was a time when it was like even chocolate-covered pretzels, people were like, ooh, I don't know.
Right.
But now, man, people are diving in.
Yeah, right. I remember when Vosges came out with their first bacon bar, people were like, oh, my God, that's going to be so weird. But they liked it, and then it just sort of keeps spreading. And the more I think Bacon Fest, to me, has always been, that's been the most amazing thing, is that just discovering the depths to which you can push bacon and how you can innovate with it.
Yeah. All right, what are some of the other dishes that are going to be around?
Some other dishes. Guy from Paul Virant from Perennial Virant is making a bacon pate with bacon mostarda, a little sort of relish. And the Shanghai Terrace is bringing something called Dong Po pork belly, which is a Chinese bacon dish with red miso and palm sugar. And it's just like really amazing, again, creative, delicious stuff that stretches your imagination.
Yeah.
And what's really amazing is that although the event is sold out, these chefs feel so passionately about bacon that a lot of them are making those dishes available on their restaurant menus.
Yes. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you about this, is because a lot of the stuff, this is, you know, you can go to Bacon Fest if you have your ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Bacon Fest and try this stuff.
Right.
But they're going to continue serving this, at least, you know, in terms of specials at a lot of these restaurants. So a lot of the things, if you go to Bacon Fest Chicago website right now, and you can check out a lot of the individual kinds of foods and tastings that are going to happen. If you're interested in that stuff, you can just go to the restaurant and say, hey, you know, you guys are still going to do that dish from Bacon Fest, right?
Right, exactly. So Edzo's will have that bacon milkshake on his menu the whole month of April. So if anybody is curious about a bacon milkshake,
bacon milkshake.
Out. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, what were some of your favorite of the past? What were some of your favorite tastings and dishes that you've had at Bacon Fest?
So
is there maybe like two? Give me two that really stand out for you.
So I have to mention Pat Sheeran again, who did this amazing bacon stuffed bacon dish. I think that was the 2 years ago.
Yeah,
he took a slab of bacon and he cut it into long sort of rectangles, mm-hmm. and then he used the slab of bacon itself as if it was a sausage casing, and he stuffed it with ground bacon, mm-hmm. and then he braised it and sliced it thin, and then on the top, this is sort of the crucial piece on the top, was he put something called whipped pancakes on top, which was like a pancake but in foam form.
Wow.
And it was like one of the most delicious things I've ever tasted.
That's amazing.
A guy named Derek Simchik from the Atwood Cafe who came 3 years ago, he brought an amazing ice cream, chocolate-covered bacon ice cream Snickers bar.
Oh, man.
It's outrageous.
Now, we wanted to mention the charitable stuff that's happening, too.
Yeah.
This is that you guys are actually, the Chicago Food Depository is getting a piece of this, right?
That's correct. We're not just about bacon gluttony. In fact, part of what's been nice about doing the event is that we can turn that love of bacon from something sinful to something good. So we give a portion of the proceeds to the Greater Chicago Food Depository. This year, we're planning a $50,000 donation.
Oh, that's awesome.
And over the last 4 years, if you include this year, that'll add up to $130,000 that we've given to the Greater Chicago Food Depository.
That's fantastic. And it's a great charity, too.
Yeah, and it's a huge cause that we feel really strongly about, and the restaurants feel really strongly about as well. And we also run a food drive at the event, so ticket holders that bring non-perishable food donations get to enter a raffle to win prizes from our sponsors. And last year we had over 2,000 pounds of food donated. And this year, for the first time, we have Eckrich is going to do a match for every pound of donated food that our guests bring. They're going to donate a pound of Bacon Lovers deli meat to the GCFD, to the food bank.
That's so awesome, man.
Sort of everybody jumps, everyone pitches in to help kind of amplify
really great.
The nice part of this.
Yeah.
Which
the Greater Chicagoland Food Depository, very important charity. My friend Tony Fitzpatrick and I did a thing at Gale Street Inn earlier this year where we raised a bunch of money for them. It's a very important cause, so that's awesome. All right, Bacon Fest 2013 in Chicago is a week from Saturday. Good luck with that, man.
Thank you very much.
It's such a great thing.
I love it.
I'm unfortunately working, so I won't be able to come down. But
maybe next year,
Yeah, maybe next year, sure. Seth, thank you very much for coming down.
My pleasure. Thanks, Nick.
And Bacon Fest is a reason to celebrate. All right, we'll take a quick break. The news is coming up next on WGN. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Tribune Tower. Phone number is 312-981-7200. You can check us out at facebook.com/NickDShow. And we got a whole bunch of other stuff, great stuff coming up. We've got a mixologist from Carnival coming over to talk about the new event, Vodka 101, which is happening this Wednesday night. Nerds at Heart founder Bathsheba Berman is going to join us. They're a sort of a dating service for nerds, and they fully admit that. That's what they call themselves. They were featured, actually, in our friend Colin Suter's documentary, Breakup Date. 10 o'clock, Jeff Ruby is going to join us to run down the entire issue of the new Chicago Magazine, featuring the best new restaurants in the city, and we'll go down that list and talk about some other cool things as well that you can find in that issue. And then after 11 o'clock, very, very excited to welcome Chicagoan and acclaimed filmmaker William Friedkin, the director of such classic movies as The French Connection, To Live and Die in L.A., and, of course, The Exorcist. He's got a new book out called The Friedkin Connection. You can get it, and you can also have him sign it at the Chicago Critics Film Festival, which is happening right now as we speak and continues tomorrow. This is a really great festival that's happening at the Movieco Theater in Rosemont. You guys all know the Movieco Theater in Rosemont. Movieco Theater in Rosemont is where I host my monthly film clubs, and my next one is going to be on Tuesday, May 7th. We're going to screen The Warriors on the big screen. We'll give you more details about that. But tomorrow you can still get to there's a horror film double feature tonight that you can actually see. It starts at 10 o'clock. Tomorrow you've got a shorts program that's going to be done with all these great, really short films. Some films like The Artist and the Model. At 2:30, they're screening Sparks. We had the stars of Sparks on last night. William Catt from The Greatest American Hero. Jake Busey, Gary Busey's son, you know, from Starship Troopers and Contact. And we had the director on. It's sort of a comic book superhero slash noir thriller. And that's going to be shown at 2:30 tomorrow at the Chicago Critics Film Festival at the Movieco Theater. The Spectacular Now is going to be shown. William Friedkin is be there after 6 o'clock signing his book, The Friedkin Connection. At 7:30, the guest of honor, Mr. Friedkin, will be introduced, and they will be showing a 35-millimeter print of Sorcerer on the beautiful big screen at the Movie Coat Theaters in Rosemont. The Chicago Film Critics Association has been together for a long time, and this is the very first Chicago Critics Film Festival, and in fact, the first film festival that's been put on by critics. So it's a big deal. Everybody's really proud of it. Those of us who are in the association are really happy that this is happening, and it's been a pretty good success. Colin and Eric gave us a little rundown on what happened last night, the opening night with Sarah Polley, the terrific actress and director. She kicked off the whole festival last night, and everybody said it was really wonderful. And today they've had a full program all the way into the night, and then tomorrow William Friedkin's going to be there. And it's just going to be a really cool thing. I'm going to be out there tomorrow as well. So it's the Chicago Critics Film Festival that continues at the Movieco Theater in Rosemont. And we'll be talking with William Friedkin after 11 o'clock about his appearance there and his classic movies and his new book. So much to talk about with him. That'll be coming up later in the show. Well, right now we were just talking with Seth about the Bacon Fest and how Bacon Fest was created. Bacon Fest was created after a night of having a few cocktails, having a couple of beers, drinking and writing. My buddies over at the Drinking and Writing Theater Company, part of the Haymarket Pub and Brewery. By the way, the Haymarket Pub and Brewery, if you've not been there, Randolph and Halstead, you need to go. It's one of the coolest places on the planet. You'll never get better beer. Pete Crowley is the brewmeister there and brews and creates some of the best beers you'll ever have. The food is outstanding. It's a great place. And you can check out some really, really cool theater. Steve and Sean run the Drinking and Writing Theater Company. We'll get these guys back in pretty soon to talk about their next show. Well, that was also created. The Drinking and Writing Theater Company was also created over a few beers. And I was there when they started creating this. We were hanging out at a fantastic bar, Simon's in Andersonville on Clark near Foster. My main man, Scott Martin, runs the place. Go in, say, Scotty, I want to take a tour. And he'll give you a tour of what is basically a legendary bar with an amazing history. It's one of the coolest bars in the city. There's no question about it. A great jukebox, great atmosphere. It's just a great place to hang out. I love Simon's. And we were hanging out in there, and I had heard that these guys were thinking about doing this thing called Drinking and Writing. And that was created after a few beers. I have here, well, my question to you is, have you ever come up with any ideas that turned out that came to fruition, that turned out to be good, that were maybe successful, that all sort of happened because you were having some cocktails with a couple of buddies? So 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. If you've ever come up with some really good ideas, just bopping ideas around after you've had a couple of beers, you're sitting around with your buddies, you're sitting around with your wife maybe, and you've had a couple of glasses of wine, and you come up with a certain idea. Have you ever done anything on impulse? Have you ever come up with any ideas that turned out to be good ideas? Or maybe they turned out to be bad, in fact. But some creative processes work, you know, get kicked off after a little bit of the adult beverage gets in there. I have definitely done my share of writing while having some cocktails, no question about it. My friend Mike View and I wrote a play called Here Comes a Regular about 10 years ago, and I think every time we sat down to write, for a couple of hours here and there to write the play together and put it together, I think every single time we sat down and we were having some cocktails while we were writing it, and some of the ideas were great and some of the ideas weren't. But I have here a list of 10 things that were created over a few beers. And that's my question to you. What have you come up with while having some cocktails? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Bacon Fest was created because people sat down and had some drinks, you know, had a few beers, and they were like, hey, man, you know, let's do a Bacon Fest. And now 3,000 people are going to be there next Saturday. This was an idea that a couple of guys had because they were drinking some beer. They thought it would be fun to throw a party in honor of bacon. And now, 5 years later, they're going to be donating about $50,000 to the Greater Food Depository in Chicago. And they're going to have over 3,000 people passing through the gates at Bacon Fest. It was an idea that came up because people were drinking some beer. So that's my question. Have you ever come up with some great ideas or done creative things or come up with really cool things because you were having some cocktails? 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So here's the list. This is from mentalfloss.com, which is such a fun website. After a few beers at a bar, even the most ridiculous ideas start to seem like the one that will make you millions. Sometimes, though, those ideas actually do pan out. Here are a few reasons to take your next tipsy brainstorming session a little bit more seriously. Created over a couple of beers, Southwest Airlines. In 1966, lawyer Herb Kelleher's client, Rollin King, owned a small commuter air service in San Antonio. King and his banker had been discussing the idea of running a quick commuter service between San Antonio, Dallas, and Houston. They pitched the idea to Kelleher, and the triangular flight route was sketched out on a cocktail napkin. Since then, Southwest has expanded to just a few more cities. So Southwest Airlines, created in 1966 over a bunch of drinks and a cocktail napkin. 312-981-7200. Great ideas that were created over a couple of beers, just like Bacon Fest. Number two, this one doesn't surprise me. This doesn't surprise me at all that this was created after a few beers. The Pet Rock was created after a few beers. And I think that the Pet Rock was probably purchased by people who had a few beers.
You sure the Pet Rock wasn't the result of a fight after a couple of beers, well, which the winner settled with a rock?
Yeah, I don't know. But I just think the people who bought it were drunk. But it was the 70s when everybody was, you know, everybody was high, so it didn't matter. Only in the 70s could something like the Pet Rock and the Mood Ring take off. It totally makes sense that the Pet Rock was conceived after a few rounds, doesn't it? After a bar conversation about what a commitment pets can be, Gary Dahl spent 2 weeks writing the Pet Rock training manual and started selling the low-maintenance pal for $3.95 not long afterwards. Once the Pet Rock fad had run its course, inventor Gary Dahl tried to resuscitate the taste it and recreate the magic by opening up his own bar so I can sit around and get ideas, he said. After ideas like sand breeding kits and red China dirt were unsuccessful, he ended up creating his own advertising agency.
Sand breeding kits?
That's what it says.
Really?
Don't know what. That's all it says. I couldn't tell you at all what it is.
I'm not sure either one of us wants to know what it means.
Yeah. So there you go. But he ended up creating his own advertising campaign. But of course, you get drunk and you think selling a rock to people is going to work. And wow, it did. All right. How about this? A Few Good Men. Aaron Sorkin wasn't throwing back drinks when he started writing his play A Few Good Men. He was slinging them. As the bartender at Broadway's Palace Theater, Sorkin organized his thoughts on napkins while patrons were watching shows. I wrote A Few Good Men during the first act of La Cage aux Folles. I would come home with pockets stuffed full of cocktail napkins and have a couple of drinks and write. So A Few Good Men. So that play would not exist without cocktails. All right, 10 things that were created over a couple of beers, like Bacon Fest, like the drinking and writing festival my friends have come up with, which all have turned out successful. What about you? Have you ever come up with an idea or brainstormed while having a couple of cocktails, and you know what? Maybe it turned out to be a success. Maybe it didn't. Well, I want to hear your ideas while drinking. 312-981-7200. You can go to facebook.com/Nick D Show as well. This is Tom in Wrigleyville on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, so my now wife and I, at the time, came up with a wine tasting club, which actually expanded into even a beer tasting club over exactly what you've been talking about, just having cocktails. And the idea was, how many people really get to know wine unless they go to a place for dinner or somebody throws a bottle in front of them? So our idea was Chicago Wine Club and Chicago Beer Club.
And so it's working out for you guys. How long have you been doing it?
Since roughly 2000. Yeah. I mean, basically it's one of those things where, you know, you're telling your friends, their friends like the idea, they show up, and then that expands into them bringing their friends and so on and so
forth. Yeah.
And it's a pretty club. We're not charging anybody anything unless, you know, we do an event, if you will, a tasting where we have to obviously have beer and wine.
Sure. Well, that's great, man. There you go.
It is a lot of folks.
See?
Yeah.
Yep. Sometimes the brain cells really kick into high gear after you've had a couple of glasses of wine or a couple of beers.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Fun.
Cool. Thanks, Tom.
All right, have a good night.
All right, take care. There you go. A successful wine tasting and beer tasting business that popped up because they were having some cocktails. What about you? 312-981-7200. Things that were created over a couple of beers. Having a few beers and you come up with some great ideas. Bacon Fest was one of them. Now it's 5 years later. 3,000 people are going to be there. And all kinds of really cool ideas have popped up because of drinking. So there you go. I have a few more on this list to read for you as well. We have that list. If you want to read about these things that have been created by having a couple of beers, we have it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NickDShow. And get in there and like us so that we can at some point in the future hit 8,500 fans. We would love to hit 8,500 fans. If you could do that, that'd be great. So just go to facebook.com/NickDShow and like us. Nick DiGiulio on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Tribune Tower overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue. We are here until midnight. Coming up a little bit later on, Jeff Ruby is going to tell us all about the latest edition of the Chicago Magazine. And William Friedkin, the director of The Exorcist, last year's fantastic Killer Joe, The French Connection. He's the author of a new book called The Friedkin Connection. He will be at the Chicago Critics Film Festival at the Movie Co. Theater tomorrow after 6 o'clock signing books and hosting a screening of his classic film Sorcerer. But we are going to talk to him tonight after 11, William Friedkin. It's going to be great. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 312-981-7200. If you want to send a text, send it to 24720, facebook.com/NickDShow. We are talking about things that were created drinking a few beers. And so I got a list here. We're going to go through a few more of these of things that were created over a couple of beers. We were just talking with one of the founders of Bacon Fest, which has turned into this enormously popular yearly event that started out because a couple of guys went home, had a bunch of beers, and thought it would be great to throw a party because of bacon. And it turned out to be a big hit. And Drinking and Writing, a great theater company that works out of the Haymarket Pub and Brewery at Randolph and Halstead, they do great work. That started over a couple of beers. Sometimes great things happen if you have a couple of cocktails. Here's another one on the list. Shark Week. Shark Week exists because of a couple of beers. In a recent article in The Atlantic, executive producer Brooke Runette said the idea for Shark Week was definitely scribbled down on the back of a cocktail napkin at a bar during a post-work drinking and brainstorming session that included Discovery Channel executives John Hendricks, Clark Bunting, and Steve Cheskin. Quote, one of them said something like, you know what would be awesome? Shark Week. And somebody in that nexus scribbled it down on a napkin. Less colorful origin stories claim that the idea for Shark Week was hatched in a discussion about programming strategies. But as Burnett notes, an idea in a bar comes from many fathers. So there you go, Shark Week. We can thank liquor for Shark Week. Ben is in Berwyn on WGN. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
Pretty good. What's up?
Well, I built a robot to conduct my wedding service, and this was all as a result of, you know, a little bit of drinking at a party when we were engaged, and neither of us is particularly religious, and we didn't really like the idea of getting married by, you know, someone who we didn't know, or, you know, so, and we didn't need a pastor or anything. So we wanted to do something different. So we were strategizing, and, you know, we came up with that idea, and I built it, and that's what happened.
You built a robot, and the robot presided over your wedding. The robot did.
That is correct. He was the officiant.
Wow. How did this not get national attention, Ben?
It got some attention. I mean, I was actually on WGN Morning News.
Uh-huh.
Larry Potash wrote something about it in the Red Eye. And then, truthfully, it did... Just recently, when Prince William got married, they did this really cheesy show in London about the world's 50 wedding shockers, and
yeah,
we got to be. They actually flew us to New York and filmed us for that. But
wow! So where's the robot now, Ben?
Well, he lives. I'm an artist, and he basically is living in my studio. He's got a big shit over him. He's done some stand-up comedy since then, though, truthfully. He performed in the Museum of Contemporary Art. He tells, uh, you know, off-color
do
jokes.
Does the robot have a name?
It was the Nuptron 4000 when we got married.
And
his stage name as a stand-up comic is Bernie Circuits, and he's a hack. You know, he's kind of a hack.
That is absolutely hilarious. See, man, couple of beers, and you go to New York to be on a wedding special. That's fantastic.
Who'd have thought?
Who'd have thought? All right, Ben. Thanks, man.
All right, thanks, Nick.
Okay. How about this? Buffalo wings were created after a few drinks. When the Anchor Bar in Buffalo, New York, accidentally received a shipment of chicken wings instead of chicken parts in 1964, they made lemonade, figuratively, of course. Teresa Bellissimo coated the wings in a sauce of her own recipe and then served them with blue cheese and celery because that's what she had on in hand, and that's it. They were a hit when her son and a group of his friends came in after they were drinking, and the Buffalo Wing was born. So there you go. Larry's on the road on WGN. Hi, Larry.
Yeah, I got a good one for you.
Yeah.
Do you guys having some beers at a place called Tun's Tavern in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 1775, started the United States Marine Corps.
Number four on the...
38 years later, it's still going.
Number four on this list, Larry.
Ah.
November 10th, 1775, in Tun Tavern in Philadelphia was created.
Righto.
That's it. That's a great tidbit to know. I bet you pull that one out at bars and people buy you drinks, Larry.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right. Have a good night, my friend.
All right.
All right.
Take care.
All right. You got it. Sepper Fi. All right. News is next.